are organized during Ramadan, including lectures, Quran recitations, and religious gatherings. These gatherings provide opportunities for learning and reflection.
تو این مهمانی قرار ما پیش خدا یک خوراک معنوی زیبایی بگیریم. یکیش قرآنه.
During this sacred period, we are encouraged to seek spiritual pleasures. Reading the Holy Quran and engaging in prayer, especially during the night, are ways to connect with God. In the month of Ramadan, there is a palpable sense of closeness to God, as if the environment is primed for a special communion with Him.
Ramadan reaches its zenith in Laylatul Qadr, also known as the Night of Decree and the Night of Power, a significant event in Islam which occurs during the last 10 nights of the month. It is considered as the holiest night of the year and holds immense spiritual importance for Muslims.
خب این ماه یکی از مهمترین ماه‌های سال هست.
Ramadan stands out as a significant month in the Islamic calendar, uniquely highlighted in the Holy Quran and referred to by the Prophet as the month of God. Believers are welcome to partake in God's feast during this sacred time, where divine mercy and forgiveness abound. The pinnacle of this month is Laylatul Qadr, the night when the Quran was first revealed from heaven to the Prophet.
Laylatul Qadr is believed to be the night when the first verses of the Holy Quran were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad by the angel Gabriel.
Ramadan is known as the sacred month due to its association with the revelation of the Quran to Prophet Muhammad. This is underscored in the Quran itself, which introduces Ramadan as the month of the Quran and emphasizes its significance as a period of fasting. In Islamic teachings, Ramadan is also linked to the springtime of the Quran, highlighting its profound connection to the Quran as a universal guide for humanity.
Muslims believe that on this night the blessings and mercy of Allah are abundant and prayers and good deeds are multiplied in reward. It is commonly observed during the last 10 nights of Ramadan, with the exact date believed to fall on one of the odd-numbered nights, such as the 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, or 29th night of Ramadan. Muslims around the world spend the night in prayer, reflection, and supplication, seeking forgiveness, guidance, and spiritual fulfillment.
Ramadan holds its sanctity as the month of the Quran's revelation to Prophet Muhammad, while Laylatul Qadr is revered as the holiest night for being the occasion of the Quran's initial descent from God. Described in the Quran as a night more valuable than a thousand months, Laylatul Qadr carries profound significance in Islamic tradition. It marks the sealing of human destinies for the upcoming year, with angels descending to finalize individuals' fates for the following year.
Laylatul Qadr is also significant in Iran as a predominantly Shia country, as it marks the martyrdom of Imam Ali, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, and the first Imam of Shia Muslims. Imam Ali was assassinated on the 21st of Ramadan in the year 661 AD while praying in the Great Mosque of Kufa in present-day Iraq. His martyrdom is mourned by Shia Muslims during the month of Ramadan, particularly on the night of Laylatul Qadr. His martyrdom is commemorated with somber processions, gatherings, and speeches that honor his memory and teachings. Shia Muslims reflect on Imam Ali's life, his commitment to justice, his bravery in defending Islam, and his unwavering devotion to Allah. The martyrdom of Imam Ali serves as a reminder of the sacrifices made by early Islamic figures in upholding the values of Islam and standing against oppression and injustice.
What is the significance of Ramadan? مهمترین اعمالی که توی ماه مبارک رمضان توصیه شده برای ما.
Ramadan encourages establishing connections with the broader world of creation, encompassing various dimensions. This includes fostering bonds with fellow beings and cultivating a deeper connection with the Creator. The act of praying during Ramadan reflects this interconnectedness as believers implore God to alleviate the suffering of the less fortunate, nourish the hungry, and heal the sick. While these prayers seek divine intervention, they also serve as a reminder for individuals to actively engage in helping others with reliance on divine assistance.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more to be said, but first a quick media review to give other outlets a chance to get a word in.
Hello everyone, welcome to the news section of this program. Here, we'll go over some important news headlines. Holy month of Ramadan in Iran. Muslims in Iran are to be united in a ritual of daily fasting from dawn to sunset as the Islamic holy month of Ramadan kicks off. Mehr News writes, Iranians stream into mosques for congregational prayers and dedicate more time to religious contemplation and the reading of the Quran during Ramadan. Charity is a hallmark of Ramadan. Among other ways of giving, many seek to provide iftar for the needy. A lineup of new television shows is another fixture of the month in Iran. Iran lifts curbs on dates exports ahead of Ramadan. The Iranian government has lifted its curbs on exports of dates from the country just ahead of the holy month of Ramadan, when demand for dates soars in Muslim countries. Noor News writes, Governor of Iran's Kerman province, Mohammad Mehdi Fadakar, said that the government had lifted its 50% duty on dates exports to help farmers and exporters increase their sales during Ramadan. Muslims can take important step in liberation of Al-Quds. The Muslims of the world can take an important step towards the liberation of the holy city of Al-Quds by strengthening unity and integrity in the month of Ramadan, the Iranian Parliament Speaker, Mohammad Baqir Ghalibov, says. Sharq Daily writes, addressing Parliament speakers of the Muslim countries in a message, Iranian Parliament Speaker Mohammad Baqir Ghalibov congratulated the arrival of the holy month of Ramadan. I believe that in this blessed month, the Muslims of the world, by strengthening unity and integrity, can take an important step towards achieving the lofty ideals of the Islamic Ummah, especially the liberation of the holy city of Al-Quds and the sovereignty of the oppressed Palestinian people over all the occupied lands, Iranian Parliament Speaker Mohammad Baqir Ghalibov wrote. Mostafa Zamani's Iraqi TV series Amir Lee set for Ramadan release. Famous Iranian actor Mostafa Zamani has performed in the Iraqi TV series Amir Lee, directed by Ahmad Ibrahim Ahmad, which is going to be released soon by Nora Vision. Tehran Times writes, the drama romance war series tells the story of an Iraqi hero who fought ISIS for his people, Isnar reported. The highly anticipated series is expected to captivate audiences with its compelling narrative and stellar performances. The series is set to be a Ramadan treat for viewers. Amir Lee unfolds a gripping tale that promises to keep viewers on the edge of their seats throughout the holy month of Ramadan. Most useful tips for traveling Iran during Ramadan. Saadat Rand writes, Ramadan in Iran is a period that transforms the country into a mosaic of spirituality and culture, providing a unique and enriching experience for tourists. This holy month is observed by Muslims worldwide as a time of fasting, reflection, and community. For travelers, it presents an unparalleled opportunity to immerse themselves in Iran's rich traditions and warm hospitality. Here's a comprehensive guide to help tourists navigate and appreciate the beauty of Ramadan in Iran. And thank you for joining us in this section. Let's go back to the main narrative.
During Ramadan, Iranian cuisine takes on a special significance as families come together to break their fast and share meals after a day of fasting. Traditional Iranian dishes are prepared with care and attention to create flavorful and satisfying meals for the pre-dawn and sunset meals during this holy month. When Ramadan and Nowruz coincide like this year, it can create a special time for those who celebrate both occasions.
Just as every entity experiences its own season of growth and renewal, so does humanity. Iranians mark the new year during the blossoming of nature, a time of rejuvenation and fresh beginnings. Just as nature undergoes transformation in spring, our souls too seek rejuvenation, symbolized by the month of Ramadan.
Families may combine traditions and customs from both festivals, creating a unique blend of cultural and religious observances. It can be a time of double celebration, with feasting, prayers, and gatherings to mark the beginning of the Islamic fasting month and the Persian New Year.
The commencement of the new year in Iran, coinciding with the rejuvenation of nature, holds symbolic importance. Just as life returns to the natural world, bringing vitality and vigor, humans are infused with renewed energy to embark on the upcoming year with fresh enthusiasm. This revitalizing effect of spring on individuals is mirrored in the spiritual refreshment offered by Ramadan.
Quds Day is an annual event which was initiated by the Islamic Republic of Iran in 1979 to show support for the Palestinian people and to protest against the Israeli occupation of Palestine. This day is observed on the last Friday of Ramadan.
Quds Day is marked by rallies, marches, and demonstrations in various countries, most outstandingly in Iran, with participants expressing solidarity with the Palestinian cause and calling for the liberation of Palestine. The day is meant to raise awareness about the ongoing occupation and to emphasize the importance of Al-Quds in the hearts of Muslims worldwide. Mr. Kalbosi told us about the historical background that links Ramadan and Al-Quds together. In his opinion, it has to do with Mi'raj. But what is Mi'raj in the first place?
Why is the last Friday of Ramadan called the Quds Day? I mean, what does Ramadan has to do with Quds?
Concerning Mi'raj, the Prophet took on a miraculous night journey from Mecca to Al-Quds and then ascended to the heavens. It's mentioned in the Quran in Surah Al-Isra. This extraordinary event, which occurred on the 17th night of Ramadan, establishes a significant connection between the city of Al-Quds, home to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the month of Ramadan. Following the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini designated the last Friday of Ramadan as Quds Day, symbolizing solidarity with the Palestinian people and honoring the historical connection.
The significance of Quds Day extends beyond political boundaries and is seen as a day of unity and solidarity among Muslims, regardless of their backgrounds or sects. It serves as a reminder of the importance of justice, freedom, and human rights for all people, particularly those who are oppressed or facing injustice. Given the current situation in Gaza and the broader Palestinian territories, Quds Day this year may carry even more significance as a platform to draw attention to the humanitarian crisis, violence, and genocide the Palestinian nation is experiencing.
The month of Ramadan culminates in the celebrations of Eid al-Fitr, a festive holiday that marks the ending of the fasting period. Muslims come together on this day to pray, give charity, share meals, and celebrate with family and friends.
Eid al-Fitr in Iran, like in other Muslim countries, is a time of joy, gratitude, and community. Families come together to attend special prayers at mosques, where they seek forgiveness, blessings, and guidance for the future. The prayers are followed by sermons delivered by religious leaders, emphasizing the importance of charity, unity, and compassion. One of the key traditions of Eid al-Fitr in Iran is the giving of fitra, which is a form of charity given to less unfortunate before the Eid prayers. This act of giving is meant to ensure that everyone can participate in the festivities and enjoy a festive meal on this special day. In mosque and prayer grounds, believers come together in prayer and reflection, offering thanks for the strength, patience, and blessings bestowed upon them during the month of Ramadan.
The philosophy behind fasting, as outlined in the Quran, aims at fostering righteousness. Prophet Muhammad's hadith underscores the dual benefits of fasting: spiritual purification, leading to righteousness, and physical well-being, promoting health. Righteousness entails abstaining from sin, which demands strong willpower. By fortifying their willpower through fasting, individuals can achieve success, as strong willpower is key to overcoming challenges and attaining goals. A society comprising individuals with a strong willpower is poised for remarkable achievements. This can be the profound impact of fasting on society as a whole.
Like the crescent moon that waxes and wanes, Ramadan offers a chance for believers to shed the burdens of the past and embrace a new beginning, a time of purification and renewal, a journey of self-discovery and transformation. The holy month also helps believers to share experience of fasting, prayer, and reflection that bind hearts together in a tapestry of faith and solidarity. That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Please do join us again to see what else is on. Till next time, take care.
Your option, our task. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio. In the limelight.
In Britain, ministers are facing a revolt from their own Conservative MPs over plans to criminalise homelessness in the upcoming legislation. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Sky News has covered this story and tells us more. Rough sleeping could be fully decriminalised after 200 years under proposals from rebel Conservative MPs to repeal legislation dating from the aftermath of the Napoleonic Wars. A group of Tory MPs working with UK's Labour and Liberal Democrat MPs want to strip out proposed and existing legislation that criminalises homelessness. The revolt is focused on government plans to introduce harsher policing of rough sleepers in its crime bill. Under proposals announced by the former UK Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, police in England and Wales are to be given powers to fine or move on rough sleepers deemed to be causing a nuisance for the public. The move has infuriated MPs across the Conservative Party. Several dozen MPs are supporting proposals by Bob Blackman, the Tory MP coordinating the rebellion, to remove parts of the bill that criminalized rough sleeping and repeal the 200-year-old Vagrancy Act. The combined effect of these proposals, if passed, would be to fully decriminalize rough sleeping. The government has committed to repealing the Vagrancy Act of 1824, which was introduced to target wounded soldiers who began begging on the streets of England after returning from the Napoleonic Wars as homeless and destitute. However, ministers have yet to announce a date for the act to be repealed, and campaigners say that in its current form, the Criminal Justice Bill would go even further. According to the data collected by the local government expert Jack Shaw, almost 4,000 people have been arrested under the vagrancy laws in the 5 years to 2023. Conservative MP Bob Blackman said aspects of the proposed bill, under which rough sleepers could be moved on, fined up to £2,500 or imprisoned, were outrageous and worse than the Vagrancy Act. He added, the police should assist people who are homeless to find somewhere that they can stay safely rather than arrest them and put them in a prison cell. Bob Blackman added, what we've got to make sure of is that we consign the Vagrancy Act to the history book, not the statute book, and ensure that people are assisted to find somewhere to live. Nicky Aiken, the Tory MP for Cities of London and Westminster and a long-standing campaigner against the Vagrancy Act, said, I've been working with Bob Blackman on the amendment and it's ridiculous to think that we should criminalise rough sleepers today. How are they going to pay their £2,500 fine? They need proper services addressing the reasons why they're on the street, not a criminal record. Matt Downey, the chief executive of homelessness charity Crisis, said, if these amendments pass, and they appear to have cross-party support from huge numbers of people in the Parliament, they would have the effect of finally moving on from 200 years of punitive and cruel interventions that stop people accessing the help that they need and punish them for their circumstances. On Monday, 1st of April, Kevin Hollenrake, a business minister, refused to say whether he supported the plans. He told Times Radio, I believe that those things are not within my auspices. I'll be interested to see the legislation as it goes through Parliament and what the Prime Minister has planned. The Times, which first reported the story, said about 40 MPs had made it known to government whips that they would vote against the proposals to criminalise rough sleepers. The former Conservative leader Ian Duncan Smith and Damien Green, the One Nation caucus chair, are among those who have joined the rebellion. Critics say the legislation is so broadly drawn that someone could be considered a nuisance for sleeping in a doorway, being deemed to have an excessive smell, or looking as though they intend to sleep rough. Ministers are in talks with the rebels over a possible compromise before the bill returns to the House of Commons after the Easter recess. Alex Norris, the Shadow Policing Minister, said, with soaring serious violence, plummeting charging rates and rock-bottom levels of confidence in policing, the Criminal Justice Bill was a chance to address crucial community safety issues. Instead, the government has chosen to go after homeless people or indeed anyone who smells. These are the twisted priorities of a government out of time. The Liberal Democrat MP, Leila Moran, said, the heartless proposals in the Criminal Justice Bill risk bringing back the Vagrancy Act by the back door. The government should listen to their own backbenchers and take a compassionate approach to tackle homelessness, instead of stigmatising and criminalising those who sleep rough. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story and tells us more. British ministers are facing a revolt from their own Conservative MPs over plans to criminalise homelessness in the upcoming legislation. Under proposals that form part of the British government's flagship crime bill, police in England and Wales are to be given powers to fine or move on rough sleepers deemed to be causing a nuisance to the public. The move has infuriated many Conservative MPs, about 40 of whom have warned whips that they will vote against the measure. Rob Blackman, the Conservative MP who is coordinating the rebellion, told The Guardian, "A lot of colleagues believe that the bill as it stands is completely unacceptable because it would have the effect of criminalising people who have no choice but to sleep on the streets. We are urging ministers to think again." The proposals form part of the Criminal Justice Bill, which is going through the House of Commons and is due to become law before the general election. They were announced by the former Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, and would give police and local authorities powers to act against nuisance rough sleepers in England and Wales. Rough sleepers could be moved on, they could be fined up to £2,500 or even imprisoned. Senior Conservative MPs on the left and right of the party, including the former Conservative leader Ian Duncan-Smith and the One Nation Caucus chair Damien Green, have signed amendments to the legislation to remove the plans to criminalise rough sleeping. Critics say the legislation is so broadly drawn that someone could be considered a nuisance for sleeping in a doorway, being deemed to have an excessive smell, or looking as though they intend to sleep rough. Kevin Hollenrake, a business minister, insisted the proposals were only one part of a wider government strategy to get people off the streets. Kevin Hollenrake claimed, "That's just part of the things that we're looking to do in terms of making sure that people don't sleep on the streets, and that's not right. We want to provide the resources for people, the housing, improving the number of refuges that people can sleep in, and the amount of social housing and affordable housing, which we've done." The broad nature of the Criminal Justice Bill has led MPs to use the legislation as an opportunity to attach other proposals, including banning conversion practices and decriminalising abortion in England and Wales.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Jawid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
My pleasure. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
You're welcome. We are still actually in the month of Ramadan, this blessed month of God, in which we try to, in fact, touch on some of the jurisprudential laws related to fasting and the month of Ramadan. Well, and one of those important concepts that come about, is especially at the beginning or end of each month, is the sighting of the crescent, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, people in fact, actually stare at the sky to see or to sight whether they can see the crescent of the previous month or the next or the future month, right?
Yes.
So that they can determine whether it is the end of the month or the beginning of the month. And usually we come about or we face three categories, three situations,
sure,
three scenarios. One of them is that the crescent, the moon crescent, in fact, sets in before the sunset. And one scenario is that both of them can be seen up in the sky. And the other one is that the crescent, in fact, sets after the sunset. Would you talk about all of these cases and how whether it is enough, actually, or which one of these scenarios would help us, determine the end and the beginning of the month?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, as you rightly mentioned, the issue of establishing the crescent of the month of Ramadan is a very critical issue. It begins with in the end or in the beginning of the month, maybe especially in the month of Ramadan, when people want to establish the moon and sight it with their eyes or with equipments. Anyhow, when it comes to the question you raised, whether the moon can be seen before the sunset or during the sunset or after the sunset, of course, in all the three cases, sighting the crescent, is enough to be established. Mm-hmm. If it is sighted any time around the sunset, before it, after it, or maybe during the sunset, it is considered as sufficient, and the start of the lunar month is established.
Mm-hmm, I see. One of the other questions comes to the mind of our dear audience might be, using some kind of technological advancement.
Yes.
If we use, for example, something like binoculars or telescope or whatever, is that okay? I mean, is it all right to use these tools in order to sight the crescent?
Yeah. Well, this is a very contentious issue because the scholars, the religious authorities are somehow polarized around this issue. Because they differ in their opinions among themselves. And some scholars are of the view that we should not use binoculars, telescopes, and the likes to establish the beginning of the month, of the lunar month, and some others quite support these devices, saying there's no problem as long as, as you are using these items and the beginning of the month is established, so there's no objection. So as we can see, we have to with regard to the opinion of His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, may he live long, of course he is of the view that the sighting of the new crescent with these instruments can be established because they are reliable tools. And the ruling does not differ from that of the naked eyes. If you cannot see with the naked eye, the moon or the crescent, there is no objection to you take up, for example, binoculars and see and look for the crescent in the sky or in the horizon to find it.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
Ya Allah, thank you for another chance standing at my door. Ya Allah, you give me hope, deliver this gift right to my home. قلوبنا بالقرآن حل ليالنا بالقيام أهلا أهلا بالصيام.
back to the program Islamic Laws on RIP English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. And so with our guest speaker, we're still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Ramadan and fasting. We are talking about the crescent and the different scenarios that are available in order to, for example, mark the end of Ramadan and the beginning of the next month, which is Shawwal, right?
Yes.
So if the local people cannot see or cannot sight the moon, basically, but the radio or television announces the beginning of Shawwal for that particular day, right?
Yeah.
Like we usually call it the Yom Hushak, right?
Yes.
That whatever translation which is available for that, a dubious day or whatever. So people have doubts.
Yes.
Whether that day is particularly the end of Ramadan or the beginning of Shawwal. What should they do in that scenario?
I believe it depends largely on where we live, whether we live in countries like Pakistan or Iran, or we live in Arab countries like the UAE or Qatar or Saudi Arabia. So those countries actually have their own method of establishing the beginning of the month of Shawwal, and the Islamic Republic of Iran has its own special method. So I think we cannot say that when the announcement is made by a government, then we have to act according to the announcement. Like in Saudi Arabia, we see that they announce the Eid day sometimes even one day before, sometimes before the announcement made by the Islamic Republic of Iran. So I think it is necessary to make sure that the moon has been sighted, because the Shia scholars unanimously believe that the moon has to be sighted, while some of the Arab countries in the region do not go for that. They do not believe that the moon has to be sighted, because they think that the moon is there but it is not visible. It's hiding somewhere behind in the horizon, so we cannot find it. So when 29 days or 30 days have passed, they begin breaking their fast and declaring the Eid day.
That's so not the case. Visibility of the crescent or the sighting of the moon or crescent is not a must for them.
For them, yes. But for us, it's a must. We must be sure that the moon has been sighted, either by way of a telescope or binoculars or any other devices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody has to follow his own mujtahid when it comes to this issue, especially.
Yes.
So, for example, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that, devices such as telescope and, binoculars are enough.
Mm.
But some other religious scholars who live or who sit in the holy city of Najaf are of the view that no, these are not these should not involve the sighting of the moon should not involve these devices, instruments. Rather, the moon has to be sighted and established with the naked eyes.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. And Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, we are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to fasting and the month of Ramadan. Sheikh Javid, I was talking about the sighting of the moon. And if it is difficult to ascertain the beginning of, for example, the month of Ramadan, or the end of it, like Eid al-Fitr.
Yes.
All right, which is the beginning of the next month, which is Shawwal. Well, because of inability, for example, to observe or to sight the crescent, all right, whether at the beginning of the month or the end of the next month, due to, for example, some climate conditions, like, for example, clouds, all right, yes. Which makes it impossible, in fact, for people on the earth to sight the crescent, right? If you live, for example, in Japan,
yes,
let's say, all right, can you, or is it permissible for those people, for the Muslims in Japan, to go by the horizon of the Middle East, like Iran, for example? What should they do? What's the rule?
Well, the horizon, these two countries, like, for example, Iran and Japan, do not seem to have the same horizon, because Japan is many thousand miles away from Iran. And in the eye of custom, of course, they do not seem to have the same horizon. When the moon is sighted there, it doesn't mean that it will be sighted here in Iran. So people in those countries, in, for example, in Japan, as you gave the example, it can follow their own horizon, and the people in the Middle East should have their own horizon, and they do have it, but they cannot start fasting or break their fast relying on the horizon of Japan.
So you mean there is a condition which needs to be met, and that is the sameness of the horizon. Would you talk a little about this? We don't have much time.
The sameness of horizon, it means to be equal as far as the possibility and impossibility of sighting the moon crescent is concerned. When it comes to the possibility of sighting the moon,
how many miles or kilometers are we talking about?
We are not talking in terms of miles or kilometers, you know. Probably it could be many hundred miles, any. But it has something to do with the possibility and impossibility of actually sighting the moon in that horizon by people or from both, let's say, countries or regions or areas.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. And thank you, my dear listeners, for joining us, joining your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to touch on some of the jurisprudential laws related to fasting and the month of Ramadan, and in particular, we talked about sighting of the crescent. Thank you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Oh Allah, please unite us and guide us to paradise. Oh, and guide us to paradise. Ramadan is here. Allah's mercy is near. Time to give, time to share, time to show.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
ها
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered on June 23, 2015 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with government officials on the occasion of the month of Ramadan. Another challenge occurs when someone thinks that if we abandon our ideological principles and the ideological principles of the Islamic Republic, paths will open and closed gates will be unlocked. This is a grave and fundamental mistake. Of course, the brothers in our diligent administration are acting with complete belief in these principles. They really believe in the revolution and its principles and values. We do not blame these brothers, but there are some people among our officials in general who think that if we compromise some of our principles and beliefs, many closed doors will open to us. This is not the case. This is a grave mistake, and we have witnessed the results of this mistake in some other countries, whose names I do not want to mention in the recent years. The path to progress is resistance and insistence on principles.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Another challenge occurs when some individuals think that the people do not endure problems. This is not true. The people have actually endured problems. If problems are explained to the people in the true sense of the word and with complete honesty, our people are a loyal people. They are a people who stand firm and resist. Another challenge is having doubts about domestic capabilities. One of the challenges is that we do not trust our scientists and popular non-governmental groups in economic affairs. They should be trusted. The people should be involved in the great economic chain of the country. The last word in this regard is that one of the tasks that we should carry out in the area of the economy of resistance is to show firm determination. We should be after implementing, in the true sense of the word, the economy of resistance inside the country. Another task that we should do is to avoid laziness. We should avoid adopting a comfort-based outlook, and we should rely on jihadi management.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. I wanna thank you for bringing me home.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pourreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Tempers are running high in Pakistan over Israel's onslaught in Gaza. In a dramatic incident, a KFC restaurant in Pakistan-administered Kashmir was set ablaze during an anti-US-Israel protest. Following the incident, police detained over 50 individuals who were accused of attacking the restaurant in the Mirpur district.
We do not support the burning of KFC, but we want to boycott it as it is in support of genocide. We stand with boycott and we do boycott. We do not want them, we just want them not to fund Israel and help them in their genocide.
The arson comes as US-Israeli genocide in Gaza shows no signs of abating. The regime's attacks on all areas of the besieged territory, including hospitals, schools and aid convoys, continue.
We are already seeing the impact on the economy, on the financial decline of McDonald's and boycott. It's huge. Even in some countries, in Arab countries, those outlets are being closed because nobody is buying it.
Free! Free!
The ongoing genocide in Gaza has fueled anger and frustration among people worldwide, prompting calls for boycotts against entities believed to support Israel financially or politically.
Boycott is something that we are, this is what we feel from our heart, from inside, that we don't want to support their economy. We don't want to support the companies that are supporting the Israeli soldiers. So, for that, we need to boycott. I know this is not a permanent solution, but we have to boycott.
Authorities are now faced with the challenge of managing the fallout from the incident and preventing further escalation of tensions.
As tempers run high in Pakistan due to the call for boycotting pro-US and pro-Israeli brands, the targeted destruction of a KFC restaurant represents a symbolic reaction of the people, both locally and globally, against US-Israeli genocide in Gaza. Nasik Azmi, Islamabad.
Israeli newspaper Maariv published an article saying Turkey is seeking to enhance relations with Israel. Turkish Agency for Combating Disinformation denied the claims in a statement. The agency said the claim in the Israeli media that senior Turkish officials sent a message saying we want to improve relations with Israel is not true. Turkey said its temporary charged affair of Turkish embassy to Tel Aviv was summoned on the 25th of March, and that claims by Israeli media that Ankara proposed that the two countries' ambassadors return mutually is not correct. The thing that forced Ömer Çelik, AK party spokesperson, to point out Israeli crimes in a statement to assure that his government stands against what Israel is doing.
The dead human bodies and corpses found around the Shifa Hospital in Gaza once again clearly show the genocide committed by Israel. It is necessary to implement the ceasefire decision in the Gaza Strip.
This subject has been considered sensitive for Turkey, especially after the ruling party lost the local election. Many analysts suggested one of the reasons was the AKP government not fully cutting ties with Israel. Many voters left notes on electoral papers such as, "You sold Gaza, we will sell you as well." And "We will not vote for a government that does not cut a trade with Israel."
"I am studying in the UK, but I came back here to cast my vote because I strongly oppose trading with Israel and want it to stop. I actively participate in rallies in the UK and personally boycott companies and products that support Israel. I believe that every penny spent on these entities translates into bullets that target Palestinians. And I am committed to taking action to support their cause."
Overall, trading with other countries is generally acceptable. However, considering the recent aggression on Gaza, Israel has demonstrated a disregard for international laws. Therefore, I believe that trade should be temporarily halted and all ports closed to convey to Israel the gravity of its actions. Israel's persistent aggression, disregard for United Nations resolutions and human rights, and obstructions of aid delivery necessitate a strong response. Turkey provides essential materials to Israel, such as copper, cement, iron, and food. Therefore, if Turkey were to halt trade, Israel might retaliate in kind.
Turkish citizens have been taking to the streets since the beginning of the aggression on Gaza, demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. They have also called on the government to sever all ties with Israel. Analysts say the public want to send messages to the president through rallies and social media campaigns. However, it seems Erdogan is turning a deaf ear to their calls for action. Erdogan, who tried to contain his people with the pro-Palestinian rallies and slogans, now finds himself not only criticized for double standards, but also grappled with losses in local elections. Rahşan Saglam, Istanbul.
The Islamic resistance in Iraq has been standing in solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza by carrying out retaliatory operations in the region. Resistance forces in Iraq have started their operations by striking a number of U.S. military bases in Iraq and Syria in response to Washington's support for Israel. The operations have now entered a new phase as Israeli positions have been directly targeted in various locations such as Haifa, Eilat, and elsewhere.
We have always been firm in our stance to support the people of Palestine. The Palestinian cause is central to the axis of resistance that has supported the people of Gaza by striking Israeli positions. The regime's positions, whether it's ports in the Mediterranean or elsewhere, are targeted using ballistic missiles, drones, and all other weapons by our brothers in Yemen, Lebanon, and here in Iraq. The operations are clear evidence that the axis of resistance works in harmony and has the strategic potential and the means to pressure Israel and those states that support the systematic killing of innocent civilians.
The intensification of the attacks on Israeli positions shows that the massacres being committed by the regime in Gaza will not remain unanswered. The second phase of the operations, which directly targeted Israeli positions, proves that regional resistance groups are able to inflict serious damage to Israel's maritime and airspace interests. Resistance groups in Iraq and across the region have proved their ability to respond to the Israeli crimes against innocent civilians. They vow that their operations will intensify even more as long as the genocidal war on Gaza continues. Muslim Salem, Baghdad.
Under the title, Flood of the Free, and as part of the activities scheduled to commemorate Al-Quds International Day, the Permanent Committee of Al-Quds International Day organized a political forum this Tuesday at Al-Assad Library in Damascus. The Iranian ambassador said that defending Palestinians is the duty of the free world.
We will continue to defend Palestine because it is a fundamental principle, not a time-bound interest. All free people in the world must support the Palestinian people, as today we witness the Zionist entity committing various crimes, from killing innocent people to the recent attack on the embassy building. The response of Islamic Republic of Iran will be proportional to the Zionist assassination crime.
During the ceremony, Syrian and Palestinian researchers and specialists focused on the need to preserve the achievements made in Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. They condemned the Israeli criminal aggression against the Iranian embassy.
We offer our condolences to the Islamic Republic of Iran on the martyrdom of Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahedi and his comrades who were martyred in the Zionist attack on the Iranian embassy building in Damascus. We affirm Syria's solidarity with Iran, which is facing these attacks due to the hysteria of the defeated entity in its war against the Palestinian people in Gaza.
The researchers considered that Al-Quds International Day should be an opportunity to increase public pressure on the international community to force the Israeli regime to stop its war on Gaza.
The Zionist enemy is trying to send a message that resistance comes at a high cost through the destruction of Gaza, killing and genocide, unaware that our peoples cannot be intimidated. Al-Aqsa flood operation overthrew and buried all the sectarian projects sown by Western colonialism and the Zionist entity.
What makes Al-Quds International Day this year special is the steadfastness of the resistance and the people of Gaza, who thwarted the goals of the Israeli enemy. The symposium concluded that Al-Quds International Day has consolidated the concept of resistance, while Al-Aqsa Flood operation proved that with strong faith, the oppressed Palestinian people can achieve victory over the Zionist occupation. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has accepted his party's defeat in the local elections. From the headquarters of his Justice and Development Party, also known as the AK ruling party in Ankara, Erdogan appeared with his wife, thanking his supporters for participating in the elections and admitting his loss. Erdogan assured that the results were a turning point for his party and vowed to respect the nation's decision. For his turn, the AKP candidate Murat Kurum expressed his gratitude to his supporters and promised to continue working for Istanbul. Kurum, who was a former environment minister, lost the Istanbul mayoral election for his opponent Ekrem İmamoğlu with a 12% difference.
I will persist in my